Well, good morning. Yeah, I'm very delighted to be here this morning with you. And I really thank God for this opportunity. Just as Pastor Kurt has said, my name is George Odero. I was born in a town in Kenya called Kisumu. At that time, my parents lived in the slum. What I mean by slum is that they are the very poor sides of the town. Growing up, life was very difficult. We were just living in one small room. My parents would sit on stones. We would sit on the floor. We would go without food for so long. Life in such places, there's a lot of domestic violence and stuff like that. So when I reached the age of 11, I dropped out of school and ran away from home and began living in the street. What living in the street means is that you don't know where you will sleep every day. You don't know where you will sleep. Sometimes we sleep in the caves, you sleep on the tree, you sleep under rock, and you don't know what you will eat. And sometimes we would eat from the beans, sometimes we would go to steal to eat. The problem with stealing is that if you are caught, you are beaten to death. And I have friends that had happened to them, and it's a long story. So many things have happened to me. It was difficult. I've been thrown in the lake, that is Lake Victoria, deep inside at night, 3 times in my life, and left there to die. And I just can't tell how I swam my way to the shores. And I just can't believe I'm still alive. And I'm just so thankful to God. Living in the street, I really desired to know God and even to belong to Him. And there's this one day that I had some people preaching, and I wanted to go in there and ask them how I could become a child of God. So I went there, and when I just reached close to the door, the ushers stopped me and they sent me away because I was smelling drugs and dirty and all that. And as I left that place, as I was going back, I just decided that now I'm just going to dive into sin and sin with reckless abandon, because even God doesn't like people like me. Because at that time, these people had guests, that is what they explained to me. So turning away and going, I just knew that I've left everything to do with God, because I used to pursue God. I could pray. I could thank God for saving my life in the street, even though I did not know Him. So my greatest desire was to be able to have a relationship with this God. And so it's a long story, but that has been the greatest thing in my life. I really wanted to know how to be saved. So there's this one day that I was having this conviction in my heart. I wanted to know Jesus Christ. I wanted to be saved. And I was looking around, and then I see this church office, and I stormed in there, and then I asked them, the pastor, can you save me? And he asked me, why do you want to be saved? Have you killed someone? I said, no. What's wrong with you? Do you have HIV AIDS? I said, I don't know. I just want to be saved. And so he told me, okay, then kneel down. So I knelt down, and he said a sinner's prayer that I was repeating after him. And then I stood up and asked him, so am I saved now? He said, yeah, you're saved. So he said, just know that you're saved from today. So I tried from that time, now that I've been told I'm saved, to go to church. And I would go to this church, but still I was feeling condemnation in my heart. I was feeling emptiness. There was no assurance at all. I did whatever I could do to look for this assurance. I went to the mountain, fasted and prayed and did all kinds of things to get assurance. There was no peace in my heart. I wanted to be able to have peace with God. That continued until one day I was walking in that town, that is Oyugis town, and I was hungry. I had some money in my pocket. I went there to buy something to eat. And when I go there, I find these pastors and the owner of that shop, they were criticizing a book. And that book was on something called Eternal Security. And they were reading it and criticizing and tearing on it. And then I just peeped and took the address of that book. And when I took the address, I wrote to that place. And that was to Duluth Bible Church. And they sent me articles they began to send me those journals. But the problem is that the journal was coming through our church. And our church doesn't like things like that. So the journals were being held there. And then I had a girlfriend in the church. So when they were being held there, my girlfriend was stealing the journals and giving them to me. So we started reading these things. And as I was reading, I had a friend of mine called Maurice Adero. And we would read with him. And Maurice says, George, this thing sounds sweet. But no, this is too good to be true. It can't be true. It can't be this easy. It can't be. So I stopped reading. I continued reading. And then we said, no, George, this has to be something that can lead you to hell, and we need to destroy this article. So the articles kept coming. We were cooking with something called a jiko. Jiko is you put charcoal on top, and you put papers down there, you light it, and it lights the charcoal, and you can cook with that. So that is what we were using the journals for. They come, and we just tear them, and we burn them. And when they come, if they have something to do with being saved forever, we don't just burn them. We first of all tear them, put them on the ground, and step on them, and we say, we bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You perish. You're not going to be able to hold us. And we cast the journals, and we cast Dennis Roxa, and all those kind of things. But then I hid one away from Maurice, and I could go back to it. Then that was around 2011. Then I go to Nairobi. And in Nairobi, there are things that I read there that were still burning like fire in my heart. So I looked for an opportunity to be able to share these things. I began preaching in commuter train as we were moving to the town, just preaching this thing. And people began to hear a difference in my message and began to get attracted to my message. And as that continued like that, that's how I came across Maurice Mwale of Grace Covenant Church, Nairobi. And he invited me to a conference that they were going to have. And that is the conference where I met Pastor Kurt. And he was teaching from the book of Romans. And as he was teaching from the book of Romans, I was very cautious because the first day went really well. The second day started getting hard, and I didn't want to go back. And I told my wife, I'm not going back. And she asked me, why are you not going back? Okay, what is it that was shared there? She actually pushed me to go back. And then when we reached chapter 3, and he began to explain the meanings of Romans 3 verse 24, which says that being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as a propitiation. So he took those words one by one. What is the meaning of the word freely? I mean justified, freely, grace, propitiation. That is the time that my eyes opened. And that is the time that I said, I got it now. I have it. And I knew for sure. And I walked with that peace. And as I was leaving that place, going back home, I was jumping on the road. I was laughing. And I went there and I told my wife, come here, I want to preach for you, girl. And friends. So, friends, this message has brought peace. This message has really given me peace. Because when I thought that I was Christian, I was still looking for justification by things that I do, and I was not able to do enough. I thought that this Christian thing is for some people, but not for people like me, not for street kids, not for drug dealers, not for bad boys. It is just for people who were raised up in Christianity. It was difficult for me. But I realized as we were walking through Romans, when we were taught the excellence of justification, when we read Romans chapter 5 from verse 1, that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access into this grace wherein we now stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Those things brought peace in my heart. Those things gave me confidence and really changed my life. For that, I am here today to be able to share with you a message that changed my life, beginning by changing my destination. Where I was going to was a bad place. I was headed to hell, but I received a message that turned my life and gave me an assurance that now I am a child of God and I am going to heaven. Here's a picture I want to share with you about my family. A bit more than my family, but the girl you can see there, the little girl there, that is Brianna, that is my youngest. She is 6 years old, and my wife just there next to me. And we have a tall boy there, he's called Xavier, he's our firstborn child. He's 11 years, and the one next to him is Clint. Clint is 8 years old. So this is my family. Now, when I first of all heard Pastor Kurt, that was December 2013. And after that, when I came back to Rongai, I didn't feel like going to the church I used to go to. I felt like I wanted to share this message with the people who have a background that is same as what I had. And I went to a slum in Ongata Rongai called Kware Slum. And what I did was I would just buy tea and invite people. When I had money, I could just go and buy tea. And as they drink, I share with them the message of the gospel. And I was just doing that. And then there are those guys you can see on the back there, the three of them, they got saved out of that Bible discussion. And when they got saved, I stopped doing that. I took them to my house, and we started doing Bible study in my house. And then they started inviting people so that we could have like 30 people in my house. So the house became small. And we started doing conferences once every month and Bible study every week. So that continued like that until we ended up planting a church called Forward Church Rongai. So that's how my work has been, and by the grace of God, I graduated from Grace Training International Institute in Nairobi. So that was our graduation there, and our church is going on in Ongata Rongai. But as we were doing church in Ongata Rongai, I felt like going back home to do conferences with pastors. And as we were doing pastors' conferences, people were seeing the difference. And some pastors would even say that, actually, I think I just got saved. So they would invite us once every 3 months. That is when school closes, I go home and do a pastors' conference. Then the demand for this pastors' conference became high, so that they needed us to do the conferences every 2 months. Right now, we are doing these conferences every month. And God has really been graciously providing for these things. And we just thank the Lord for all that is happening. So Pastor Kurt has come and helped me in these conferences as we just go around to different places and we bring pastors and they are taught this word of God. Now, as we go out there, the message that we have been taking out there is a very simple message, which is what I want to share with us today. That is the message of the gospel. And talking about the gospel, let us turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I'll read verse 1, then I will jump to verse 14 all the way to verse 17. And as we go there, shall we just bow down for a word of prayer? Father, you are amazing. I just want to thank you so much for your faithfulness, that you are the God of all grace. Thank you for the opportunities that you are giving us to be able to share a message by which sinners can be saved. God, if you want to speak to your people, you can just come and speak to them yourself. I just can't believe you can use somebody like me to speak your message. Thank you for your grace. And I pray, my God, this morning as we are going to listen to your word, that you may use it, that if there is someone among us here who is not saved, that your spirit may open their eyes, that they may see wonderful things from your word and be able to come to you, that they may be saved. And I pray that if there is someone that is unclear, that by our sharing today, Lord, you may bring clarity to them. And I pray for those who will listen to this message later on, after it has been recorded, God, that you may use it to go to places that we may not even be able to go to. All for the glory of your name and for the building of the Church of Jesus Christ all over the world until the Lord returns. So I pray, be with us today as we share your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Bible says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. So Paul introduces himself here, and he calls himself a bondservant. He takes the posture of a slave, and he knows who is his master. He says, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is his master and is the one that is going to please with his life and his message. He says that he has been separated to the gospel of God. And thinking about this word gospel, you see, the gospel is good news. It is good news that comes from God, and it is directed to hopeless, helpless, and hellbound sinners. And it is about how they can be saved from a hell they deserve to a heaven they don't deserve. Boy, that gives me hope that those who are going to heaven, none of them deserves it. And this is what this message comes to tell us. In verse 14, Paul says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to unwise. He views himself as a debtor. He owes people something. Wherever he goes, whatever he does, every interaction with people, he sees as an opportunity to pay a debt that he owes. He knows that he owes people something. And he knows the thing that he owes them, that he needs to pay. As he says to us in verse 15, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So he owes everybody something, and what he owes them is a message. And it's a specific message called the gospel. So Paul knows he owes people this thing. Paul wants to be able to share this message. And he says, I am ready. Which shows us that this is what was it at the forefront of his thinking. This message was urgent in Paul's thinking. This is a message to be shared. And he says, I want to be able to share it to you. And may the Lord help us so that in our lives as believers in Christ, we may look at our associates, partners, people we are working with, people we meet, wherever we are going, We may be able to think like Paul thinks here, seeing ourselves as debtors, because this message has been committed to us. And God wants to use us to share this message. How humbling is that? That a message can be shared through your lips, and God can use that message to change the destiny of a person forever. You meet a person, maybe in the plane, maybe as you walk, maybe when you go to buy something, and God gives you an opportunity to carry out a conversation, and that message has the ability to change eternal destiny of this person. What a message the Lord has given to us. Talking about this message, Paul says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul says that when it comes to this message, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed to share this message. He is not ashamed because he knows the potency that is in this message. He says it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So he has complete confidence that in this message works. It works everywhere. It works every time. It works for anyone who shares it, and it works to everyone who believes it. That's why Paul has complete confidence in the message of the gospel. This makes it easy for us as people who are going to communicate this message, because it is not our work to try to argue anybody into the kingdom. We cannot do that. Ours is just to be like a table waiter, just present the message, and we can urge them, please eat. But we cannot make them, we cannot convince them. We just share a simple message, and that message has the power to save people. In verse 17, it tells us something that people are looking for, something that I was looking for, and I did not find until I heard the message of the gospel. It says that in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. What is the meaning of that? In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, which means that what is required for a person to live with God forever is righteousness, and not just righteousness, the righteousness that is the same as the righteousness that God has. And we cannot have that on our own by whatever we do. But God has come up with a way in which that righteousness can be given to us. And he explains to us that way through the message of the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we see the just shall live by faith. What is he saying there? As he says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is faith first tense to faith second tense. Faith first tense is what makes you the just. When you hear the gospel and place your trust in Jesus Christ, at that moment you are justified from all things. Bible says that in this man forgiveness of sin is preached, and through him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So at the moment of faith alone, in Christ alone, God justifies you simply because you believe. What is the meaning of being justified by God? It means to be declared righteous by God. So God declares righteous a sinner who has placed their trust in Jesus Christ. But after that, God wants us to live the Christian life. And how shall we live it? The same way we were justified. The just shall live by faith, from faith to faith. It's not from faith to works. It is from faith to faith. You live the Christian life the same way you began it. as he would say in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. So we received him by relying on him. We walk in him day by day, depending and relying on Jesus. But all these things come from understanding the message of the gospel. That is where it begins. And this is why we go to these pastors and share these things. And as we have seen there, that the gospel works everywhere to every person. It doesn't matter who the people are. We are involved with something right now in our ministry where we are reaching out to people like all these people you're seeing there are widows. So whenever we have ability, we get hold of a widow. Why we are doing this is because in my society, widows are looked down upon. So you're married, you go to this village where you are not born because you're married now. And if the husband dies, a widow can lose everything. And their children cannot go to school anymore. And life becomes unbearable. And most of them do not even have houses to live in. So what we are trying to do, we just started with one and then we had two. We just try to get hold of them and try to change a little things in their lives. As you can see, like in this picture, all the clothes they are wearing, our ministry bought for them those clothes. And what a beautiful thing when we begin to give dignity to these people that are despised by society. The things that you are seeing in front of them is some food supplies that takes them throughout the month. You may see them holding some envelope. There is money in there that helps them also to do other things. So we also teach them. Leah and her mom, my wife Leah, and my mother-in-law are involved in teaching these widows to be able to do some things that can help them so that we not only have widows, we are also training them so that when you take 1 year in this program, you should be able to get out of the program so that we get another person in. So there are some of them that have left the program and are now stable because this money that we give them, some of them lease land and they begin to farm that land. Some of them start small businesses like selling onions, selling chickens, things like that. And we are just so grateful to God because of what is happening through this ministry. We also reach to those of them that do not have houses and we build houses for them. It takes $770 to be able to build a house. So we have a project that we call 777, and that helps to build a house for a widow. Now, let me tell you what happens when this happens. Sometimes when you build a house for a widow, the children that had run away, had gone to the streets, they come back. And it's such a beautiful thing to see the family reunion and just begin to pray together and see all those things happening. And these people coming to church and hearing the gospel, and along the way, some of them get saved. So when I moved from Nairobi and we went to the village, last year, I went to a place where people are smoking bang and drinking alcohol, really bad alcohol that can make somebody go blind, and there is some kind of witchcraft that is done in those kind of alcohol. And most of the people who do this kind of business are these widows that we are now taking hold of. When we preach to them and they get saved and they live that kind of a lifestyle, they cannot support their new life in Christ. That's why we are trying to start some businesses for them and giving them some support. Some of them were prostitutes and they get saved. And so we went to these young men and I picked them. So these young men are really bad people, really known bad people in the village. So we got hold of them and I told them, okay guys, this is what we are going to do. Next month I am going to have time with you. And we will spend a whole day just eating and saying stories and sharing something from the Bible. So they came and we started with them. Only three of them did not get saved. And the ones who got saved stuck with us up to now. And it's so beautiful to see how the Lord has changed them. Out of them now, we needed people to be able to teach them more, and young people. So whenever schools are closed, we bring young people to our garage, and we just begin teaching them the Christian life things. And when they leave this place, they go to their various schools, carrying those notes, and that is what they're doing, preaching over there. So there was a need for us to be able to plant a church that agrees fully with the message that we are preaching, a church that goes the direction that we are going, a church that welcomes this kind of people. Because some of them are witches, seriously, and people fear them. When they come to a congregation, people feel like, you know, it's scary. But we love them, and we wanted to be able to share with them the message of the gospel, and that led to last December, we planted a church, Forward Church, a grace-oriented, Bible-believing local church. And it's a beautiful thing that is going on there. And right now, what we are moving on with is that the Lord helped us to be able to start a resource center. At the resource center, there are projects that we want to do. You can see the building where it has come to. Those two doors facing these sides are rooms where we can host people. We want to be able to host people that can come from different parts. Maybe some people can come from Duluth Bible Church to come and help evangelize our people and train people. So these rooms will offer, we will put bunk beds there so that we can have like 50 people or 40 people in those places. We also have a side of that resource center that is for business, for building up, building things. So we have things there like metal sheets, iron sheets, rods, and all these building materials that right now we are buying from places which are very expensive, but we want to bring in bulk so that we do business there for the sustainability of the resource center that we are building here. So we will be selling those things to people, and also that is where we will be buying, whenever God provides, we will be buying things that we are using right now to build for the widows and stuff like that, just coming from that place. So this resource center, the main thing about it is so that we may be able to do our conferences at this center. And also another thing is that we may be able to do grace training, to make it a grace training institute. In that, we can bring pastors and they stay for a whole 5 days at a time, just being taught on the upper floor here. So we have poured the concrete on the upper floor. That's where we are at. And we are trusting God that on this upper floor, that big area will be a conference hall where people can come in. It can sit 100. And then there will be some breakout rooms in there that people can be taught all several things. Downstairs there, there are other things that will be going on, like teaching ladies on weaving, tailoring, and teaching craftsmanship, especially carpentry and stuff like that. So that is what we are believing God for. And what a blessing this thing can do if the Lord provides, like he has been providing. I am scared myself looking at what is happening, because I don't know how it is happening. I really don't know. Just the other time I was in Illinois, and then somebody comes and tells me, can you come to my Bible study? I say, oh yes, I have time. And we go to this Bible study, and then we study the Bible, and then somebody sits next to me and asks me, George, do you need money? I almost wanted to say, duh, but I didn't. So he asked me, is there anything you are doing? And just like that, he writes $4,000 check. How do you explain that? So we are praying that God willing, he's going to provide for this resource center so that we are able to, when pastor comes, we are able to host pastors here. Because our desire is that the gospel may go out there. Brothers and sisters, it's amazing what the message of the gospel is doing. And I am just surprised how the Lord will turn and reward us for these things. It doesn't make sense to me, but he says he will do so. We are just yielding ourselves to him as weak and insufficient servants whom God can use. So talking about this message of the gospel, let's run real quickly in John 3:16 and see an illustration about this message of the gospel. John 3 verse 16. Whenever we go out there to share this message, I always begin by talking about the gospel roadmap. And I tell pastors that it is so important to understand the message of the gospel. And the roadmap that we are using is just a way of having this message in a simple way that you can just have at the back of your mind. And that simple way is broken down into 4 points. That is context, content, response, and result. So that is what we are going to see here in John chapter 3:16, talking about the context of the gospel as we begin here. So what is a context? A context is a background information that helps us to understand the rest of the message that is going to be shared. So when you come to John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So the context here is God. We want to ask ourselves, what about God? What is he like? And thinking of what God is like, we will put on that triangle, God. As we know, he's three in one, God the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And this God, he loves the world. And when it says God loved the world there refers to humanity, people like you and me. You can put your name there. This Judas stayed here for so long, since I got saved. So, God loves the world simply means God loved people, human beings. In fact, Swahili word for people is wanadamu. That is children of Adam. So when it says God so loved the world, Mungu alipenda ulimwengu, we tell them the world there is wanadamu, and there is that connection. So one person in Kiswahili, a person is binadamu, child of Adam. So we are all Adamites. We are in Adam, but God loved us. He created us in his image and likeness, and he wanted to have fellowship with us. But we need to know this God who created us. What is his nature? God, dear friends, is holy. What does that mean? It means he is perfect and pure. That means not even a dot of impurity can be found in him. 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That is good. But we are going to see something that makes it not really good for us. He is a holy God, and he is also righteous. Righteous means that he is morally upright. He does what is right all the time. And he's also a just God. He judges according to truth. He does not bend his judgment. He is just. A just judge that cannot be bribed. So this is the God that we want a relationship with. And he wants us to know who he is, what he is like. To be able to do that, he gave us the Ten Commandments. And what the Ten Commandments do is that they show us the holiness of God and something about us. Some people think that the Ten Commandments were given to us so that if we can obey them well, then we can have a relationship with God. Friends, the Ten Commandments, they show us how holy God is and something we are going to see in a short while about us. Because the Ten Commandments are the righteous requirements of the law. And we are going to see how well we do trying to obey these requirements. They say that do not lie, do not steal, and all those things. So I can just put a few of them there. And if you begin to obey the Ten Commandments, you understand that they were to be kept and obeyed all your lifetime. And none of us can say that they have never lied all their lifetime. If you have lied, you are a liar. If you have stolen just once, you are a thief. So we find that by looking at the Ten Commandments, it shows us something about us. Namely, you are a sinner. A singer sang and said, "By God's word, at last I learned my sin." So they help us to understand that we are sinners. We are sinners who are already guilty, guilty of breaking God's holy law. So what we have seen so far here is that Psalm 99 verse 9, the Bible says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill." Why? "For the Lord our God is holy." We have also seen, and we can read Romans 3 verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So all have sinned. And also Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death." So we see three things here. God is holy. You and I, we have sinned. And then there is a penalty, namely death. It says the wages of sin is death. Wages is something that we deserve. You and I deserve death. A wage is something that you have worked for. You deserve it. You need to get it. That's what we deserve. Going back to our board, we understand that now that as sinners, we deserve to die. And death in the Bible carries the idea of separation. And when it says here that we have sinned and we deserve death, it also includes eternal separation from God in a place of torment called the lake of fire. This is what we deserve. We deserve to go to hell. If God were to give us what we deserve, that's where he's going to take us. So dear friends, if you want to be saved, don't approach it as something you have worked for, as something you can deserve. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. Eternal life is not God's reward to good people because of the good things that they have done. No, it is his free gift that he gives, guess who? Sinners who don't deserve it. So what we deserve is hell. But we thank God that even though we are sinners who deserve to go to hell, there is good news message for us, which brings us to the content of the gospel. So what is a content? Just like this cup here is containing water. I just drank water because that's the content of this cup. Every time that I give somebody something from this cup to drink, they must drink water and not anything else, because that is the content. That is what is contained. So the gospel also, like a container, has something that it is carrying. And the Bible tells us he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the content of the gospel. So may we illustrate that. Because we have known that we have sinned, sin has separated between us and God. Bible says hand of God is not short that it cannot save, but your sin have separated between you and your God. First time I was coming to America, as we were flying over the Atlantic Ocean, 1 hour we are flying, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. How vast is this ocean? I was asking myself. And then I remembered, how big is the gap between a holy God and a sinful man? Dear friend, the gap that sin has created between us and God is so wide that if you can go to Kenya and go where the ocean is in Mombasa and you tell people, hey, there are some good things in America that you're going to be given, dollars and houses and cars, the only thing you need to do, swim your way. And then you see some people, okay, what do you think about them? They're crazy. You better give up and say, have mercy on me. So it's such a big gap. And remember, we sinners deserve death. Having seen how much we deserve death, This is where something happens that is almost unbelievable. In the midst of our sin, guess what happens? The love of God. He just loved us, though we deserve to be punished. And God loves you, dear friend, because that's another attribute of God. God loves you because he is love, not because you are lovely. He just loves us. And in his love, he gave his only begotten son, namely Jesus Christ. And right there, we are just seeing a picture of a cross, which will remind us whenever we read that God gave his son, he gave his son to come and go to the cross for us. Bible says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that God gave, love us, and gave his son as a propitiation for us. So Jesus Christ, he comes, he goes to the cross, and at the cross what happens? He died, and on the third day he rose again. Why did Jesus Christ die? Because you and I deserved death. Why did we deserve death? Because the wages of sin is death, and we are the ones who have sinned. Jesus did not sin at all. But on that cross, God took all sins of all people of all time and placed them on Jesus. Isaiah says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He came and became a sin bearer for us on the cross, and he took it all. So Jesus Christ bore our sins on the cross and died. He paid with his own body, with his life, a debt that you and me owe to a holy God because of our sins. And he paid it in full. It is paid, all of it. The sins that you did in your childhood, paid in full. The sins that you did last week, paid in full. The sins that you are doing right now, saying it's too long, paid in full. The sins that you will do in future, paid in full. Praise the Lord that Jesus paid it all. And Jesus, having paid our sins, God looked at that. And dear friends, this is what I never heard in church. That God looked in my tribe, the way people get saved, we are told, kneel down and cry. And there are people supervising how you are crying. Hey. You are joking. You are not crying well. So you need to cry and wail and roll and vomit and all these kind of things. And then they see the seriousness. They say, yeah, you're about to get it. But Isaiah 53 says, the Lord shall see the travail of his soul and will be satisfied. The Lord shall see the travail of his soul, the travail of Jesus' soul, and will be satisfied. So God sees what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, and he's satisfied. But this God that is satisfied, don't forget, he's also just. He is not more just than he is loving, and he is not more loving than he is just. So how does he balance all these things? This just God took all of his wrath against sin, your sin and my sin, and poured it all on Jesus, so that he may be able to save. He poured it all on Jesus. So let us look at some scriptures talking about this content of the gospel. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's amazing. I like talking about this thing as we are in the train, and people really understand that, because train doesn't have emergency brake. So I tell my friends that if you are standing on the railroad, and maybe you are on a phone call, and the train is approaching, and it is hooting, and you're not getting out, then you had a friend, and he sees you about to be crushed, and then he jumps where you are and pushes you over. What happens to you? You are saved. You are rescued. What happens to your friend? He takes the heat. He dies. So death still happens. Dear friend, you and I were the ones standing on the railroad, and the train of God's wrath is coming. But what a friend we have in Jesus, who jumped into our place and took the death that we deserved. That's the message of the gospel. But this message requires a response. We need to respond to this message. So how exactly do we respond? It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him, that's the response. It is a whosoever believes gospel, not whosoever does something. Whoever believes in him, what does that look like? You just place your faith in Jesus. And faith means to trust or to rely on. As Paul would say, that I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. What did Paul commit to Jesus? The issue of his eternal destiny. And when we hear the gospel, we can commit the issue. We can rest assured that because of who Jesus is and what he has done for us on the cross, we can go to heaven. That is what it means to rely on Jesus Christ and his finished work. And that is the way that we receive Jesus Christ. And once we have believed in Jesus Christ like that, dear friends, that's how our sins are forgiven us. And some verses on that, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Look at this word here. We are talking about faith. Faith means you are trusting on another, not yourself. So salvation is not of yourself. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are born, where you come from, whether you are white, black, whatever. It is not of yourself, and it is not of your work. Doesn't matter what you have done. Helping the poor, feeding the needy, doesn't save. Not of works at all. It is by faith. So, if it is not of your works, and it is not of yourself, then it is by grace. And grace means undeserved gift. That's how we get saved, dear friends. And when we hear the gospel and respond by faith alone, there is a result of that message. And the result is, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Should not perish but have everlasting life. So let's finish with that here in the diagram. How he says whoever believes in him should not perish. So the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ, as we saw in Romans chapter 1 verse 17, in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just. So faith that justifies you. We are already guilty sinners. But the moment you believe in Jesus, our destination is changed. God from heaven says what? You are going to hell is canceled. You can know that. We were headed to hell, but upon believing in the gospel, our direction is changed. You are now on your way to heaven. No longer going to hell. And that's how we cross from the bad side, the condemned side, to the side of God, the holy side. Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, that these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants us to know that we have eternal life. And he wants us to know it with certainty. You can be 100% sure that now I am saved. You can know it. As you look at the Word of God tells us that we can know. And how can we know? How can we know for sure that we are going to heaven? We can know because we simply believed. And when we believed, we did not trust on ourselves or on our works. We trusted on the work of Jesus Christ. Namely, he died for us. And he died for us because we are the ones who deserved death. We deserved death because we are the ones who had sinned. We sinned against a holy God. So God is holy. We have sinned. Jesus died. We deserve death, and Jesus took that death for us. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we can know. And we can be 100% sure that now I am a child of God. And that is the grace of God, because there's nothing we have done to deserve all this. Bible tells us in John chapter 5, verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Look at the three promises that Jesus is giving here. Jesus is saying, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, how do you hear his word? Like you are hearing right now. As the gospel message is preached, you are hearing the word of Jesus Christ. What should you do when you hear that gospel? And believes in him who sent me. What is the meaning of that? Believing that God the Father sent God the Son to come and die for me. Whoever believes that way, that person has everlasting life. He has, as a present tense possession, right now, he has everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment. There is a future judgment that will take people to hell. You believe right now, you will not come to that judgment. But has passed from death to life. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you have passed from death to life. Notice what that scripture says, that everybody is born in the realm of death. So to get saved is not an issue of giving your life to Jesus. It is not an issue of offering him anything. No, all that we have in is death. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. We need life. How can we be made alive? How can we be made alive? It is by being crossed from this side of death to this side of life. And that happens when we believe in Jesus Christ. So this is where we are at. This is what we have, death, separation. But when we believe in Jesus Christ, we cross over. That crossing over from death to life is what the Bible calls born again. Are you born again today? If you are not born again, you can be born again. Just where you are. We have seen the Lord is saying, you hear his word, and then you believe. The moment you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, that his death is enough, that he rose to give you eternal life as a free gift, that moment you can cross from death to life. I pray that you may put your trust in Jesus Christ. It is just that simple. And if you are a believer today who has the message of the gospel, I pray that you may think of the opportunities that we are always letting go without sharing this message, because God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. May we be eager to share the message of the gospel. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love that you have loved us with, that you could send your Son, your only begotten Son, to wretched sinners to come and save us. God, I pray that you will help us as believers in Christ to have a sense of urgency with this message. God, I pray that we may be faithful. I pray also, God, that you may help us to live a life worthy of the gospel, that we can draw people. I pray also, God, that you may be pleased to use us to be able to help some people. And even as that happens, that we will be ready to share with them the message of the gospel. God, I pray that if there is any one of us that is hugging the world and having confusion in their minds, that, Lord, your Spirit may move in them and help us, Lord, to put our eyes on Jesus Christ and think about what he did for us. May we be thankful for the privilege that we have to share the message of the King, and may it be even an obligation for us as we view ourselves as bond servants. So we thank you for the work that this church is doing. Thank you so much for the message that is going out from Duluth Bible Church. God, thank you so much for blessing the efforts as they send out articles and all avenues, God, I pray. May you use this thing to help people. I thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.